The U-curve adjustment phase, the ignorance of these cultural codes is often the reason for misinterpretation of signals and expectations. Instead of complaining about the misunderstanding and the difficulties in the phase, it is not uncommon to start joke about the people and the differences which is arising due to the cultural differences. Even though the adjustments process has started, a lot of feelings and experiences from the cultural shock still remains, which makes it very difficult to draw a clear line between the two faces. And hence, the cultural, the U-curve culture adjustment phase, because here, if you ignore the cultural code, definitely a lot of misunderstanding would happen and people will misunderstand the signals and the expected behavior. Instead of complaining about this, let's understand how we can focus it, because many a times people ignore such things and that's the reason people joke about things. They take it very lightly. But from an expat's point of view, please try to understand they are completely not aware of the culture which you are part of. Hence, as an expat, you need to create that cultural sensitivity, and this is what the entire learning is all about. And that's the reason if you do this, you can clearly define the differences between these two phases. Now that we have discussed the U-curve adjustment phase, particularly from a learning point of view, how that thin line needs to be clearly visible so that as an expat, you are able to create that cultural sensitivity from an overall adjustment point of view. Let's understand the U-curve mastery phase. The fourth phase, typically the mastery phase or the completion phase, where it happens their individuals is so well adjusted that he or she can function effectively in the new environment, because their entire learning phase is done. Now they have experience and they have learned that mastery, wherein they are able to cope up with that stress, cope up with that learning curve, and they're able to take up their new roles effectively. The individual cultural skills may develop further, but are at this stage sufficient enough to function without of a feeling of anxiety or discomfort. Because now that they have learned, they have experienced their learning curve, they are able to adjust and they're able to work effectively in the circumstances, and that's how you can improve or you can work better from a U-curve mastery phase. Therefore, based on the Oberg research in 1960, reasons that are in the two type of complete adjustments, one that is more complete than the other, and this is clearly visible because now they have worked, they have experienced in the last 1 month to 6 months, they have learned their entire mastery as a part of their U-curve phase. They are able to cope up well, work well, more confidently. They are able to cope up with that stress. They are able to learn from their mistakes, and now they have culturally more sensitized and they are able to take more tasks, they are able to do more, and there is very little discomfort, the worry of anxiety is much minimum from an overall learning phase point of view. Instead of just accepting the local food, their drinking habits, their overall cultural expectations, the customs, the expat are actually enjoy this phase because now they have experience and now they have learned and they have coped up with that particular stress. They have worked on it and now they have experiencing the positive side of their entire expat culture. When the assignment is finished, the expat may miss the culture and the people so much that it will be difficult for them to readjust to their home country. And that's the beauty of any humans. That's the beauty of any individual, because now that they have experienced the positive side of that learning now, and now they're going back to their home location. They find it difficult because earlier, when the same culture was getting toxic on them, now that they have learned, they are enjoying the phase, they find it difficult to go back to their home location. And that is why, from a learning point of view, this is one of the important phase which we typically mention as the U-curve mastery phase. The U-curve. Several variations in the U-curve exist. The U-curve has sometimes been critically criticized for not taking the reparation process into the account. At the same time, there is another part of it where typically, therefore, the W-shape curve of the whole process has been presented, extending the U-curve until after the expat have returned to his or her home country. And that's the reason, as a part of the overall process, there are a lot of variations in the entire U-curve. And that's the reason it starts at the peak, the best of their learning culture, where they are really, really looking forward to the new journey. But there's a dip because they take some time to adjust in the new culture, and then again the curve goes up, and that's how their entire variation is visible from overall U-curve culture, from a sensitivity and from an overall expat learning process point of view. The J-curve, typically, J-curve has also been suggested where the basic differentiation from the U-curve is that the honeymoon phase is shortened or even doesn't exist in some cases. The U-curve is, however, most commonly accepted as well as the most used model explaining the adjustment process, thus making it to the chosen model for this particular study. So now that we are focusing on the U-curve, there are a lot of studies which was done, the J-shape study, the W-shape study, but typically the U-curve study is something which is feasible. It's also culturally acceptable because if you see here, the expat, when he is joining a new location, it finds little difficult to adjust in the new culture. But once they are culturally adapted in their entire learning process, U-curve definitely, is one of the most preferred acceptable norm from an overall study and from an overall learning point of view. Let's understand the adjustment dimensions of expat learning process point of view. The expat acculization process affected by many factors that can be typically divided into four dimensions as per the study which was done in the year 1985. The self-oriented dimension, the others-oriented dimension, the perceptual dimension, and the cultural toughness dimension. Let's understand these dimensions in a little better way. The adjustment dimension typically refers to a study which was done in the year 1991, where the first three dimensions are components of the individual skills that are important to master in order to be more effective in the new culture. The adjustment dimension and the self-oriented dimension focuses here. The self-oriented dimension is a term that encompasses skills that are increasingly that increase the expat self-esteem, and it can be subdivided into three sub-factors. Factor number one, reinforcement substitution, which includes the substitution of all home country activities that used to bring happiness and pleasure to similar activities that exist in the new culture, for example, sports, music, food habits, art, culture, etc., etc. The second phase here refers to a stress reduction, since it has been proven that the ability to deal with stress in day-to-day life significantly affects the expat from an adjustment point of view. The third part here refers to technical competence, because being confident in how to accomplish the goal of the assignment is important for overall adjustment. The opposite has also been shown, where expats feel a stronger ability to perform and accomplish goals if they have adjusted well in the host culture. And that's how the three dimensions, the point number one, point number two, point number three, clearly refers to the phase of the reinforcement substitution, stress reduction, and technical competencies. Now let's understand the adjustment dimension from the adjustment dimension, other oriented dimension. The others oriented dimension deals with the ability of the expat to interact with locals effectively and can be subdivided into two sub factors. First, the relationship between which simply the activities that builds friendship with the people in the new culture. And the second part here is willingness to communicate, because here it is not necessarily that level of language skills that fosters adjustment, but rather the confidence and willingness to learn and use the host country's language are the two important parameters which helps the adjustment dimension from a cultural, other orientation dimension point of view. Adjustment dimensions typically which is referring to a perceptual dimension. These are the skills that are necessarily to understand foreign behaviors and predict future behavior to host nationals, which typically reduces the tension in the cross-cultural relocation and fosters adjustment to the country's condition. Referring to the adjustment dimensional culture from a toughness dimension point of view, the cultural toughness dimension or the cultural novelty describes the differences in cultural from a complete, cultural distance point of view. The gender of the expat may also affect the culture distance. Typically, the certain patriarchal culture which may be there, for instance, be more difficult for women to adapt in comparison to men, because here the focus is purely from a gender point of view, because here the expat, typically a female expat, finds it difficult to be able to adjust from a home location culture point of view. The only non-individual dimension thus explains that countries with a larger cultural distance in relationship to the expat's home country are tougher to get adjusted. And that's the reason we are discussing this chapter in a more detailed way, because adjustment from a cultural dimension point of view, particularly referring to a toughness dimension, is one of the important parameter, typically from a patriarchal cultural point of view. Let's understand the next particular part, which is the cross-cultural training methods. When I say cross-cultural training methods, if you see the image, these are the representation of all expats, all individuals who are one of the important aspect where they are trying to adjust to a cross-cultural environment purely from a learning, from a training methodology point of view. Let's understand what we are referring to, the didactic trainings. When we say the didactic trainings, we are referring to one of the most common norms of cross-cultural training. And more than 2/3 of the multinational corporations are offering this learning culture as a form of informal briefings and the expats before being deployed abroad. This also provides a tactful information regarding the working and the living conditions as well as the cultural aspects of the host country. The consent of the cultural aspect does, however, mainly addresses the practical issues which, such as shopping and dress codes in the host country. These are particular training dimensions which the expats need to understand from a cross-cultural, from a training and from a multinational corporation's point of view. These are the aspects where the host country and the expat need to be culturally sensitive on these elements, because here a lot of issues typically, you know, from a daily livelihood point of view, practical issues such as shopping or dress code from a host country policy, etc., etc., comes into consideration when we refer to didactic training process. It also represents the traditional way of learning used to be in schools and universities, where information is transferred using a one-way communication channel. The context of this particular training also often is one of the hard facts, like requirement for the job, for the policies, from the travel arrangements, etc., etc. But it also contains the aspect that help prepared expats to establish a framework and understanding and adapting to a new culture which they have arrived in the host location, in the host country, and it also facilitates a lot of lifestyle adjustments. Besides pre-departure issues, it can also include information on the reapprehension issues from overall learning point of view. Let's understand the experiential training part. The experiential training part here focuses and is conveyed using a number of methods, including not only restricted to practical exercises, workshops, and stimulation, but also more genuine concepts such as look, sight, visits, look-see site visits of the host country to be able to understand the area, the place, the workplace adjustments, the cultural adjustments for them to be able to do their day-to-day activity from an experiential training point of view. Look-see trips can provide a first real experience of the country for the expat and sometimes for his or her entire family. These are the important parameters where the experiential training comes into consideration, because here a clear look and feel study is done, because here they are able to take it, the entire experiential learning, to the next level. This also gives them an opportunity to meet people in the new country and get a view of the new environment and the workplace they are getting into. It also to be able to, you know, to be effective, they need to be well planned, they need to be well prepared, well planned, which can make it a little costly affair and make them costly. The problem can also be that since they are designed to give an expat a positive view, they may not show the true picture of the host country. And hence, from an experiential training point of view, they may not be clearly understand the dimensions from a long-term point of view, because in a very short visit, in a very short briefing, or a short, pre-joining formalities, they may not be able to culturally sensitize the overall expat behavior and their families, you know, the study of their families and the cultural fitment. And hence, it is very important for the expat from an experiential training point of view to be able to create that sensitivity and show them the real true picture of the host country, so that they are able to culturally adjust to the new environment. Let's talk about the attribution training. The attribution training tries to give the expats the skills which is typically in thinking and acting from a host, multinational, from a host national point of view, host location point of view. It is also aimed to give the expat an insight into the cultural point of view from a host country. It also enables the expat to explain and understand the host national's behavior. And here such training attribution, training related activities helps them to create more cultural sensitivity in the host country point of view. By teaching such skills, the aim is to make the expats attribute more, isophoric from a more from a overall learning point of view, from a new cultural point of view, because here they will be able to teach them those trainings, those skill set which they are required to be a part of their day-to-day work environment. Attribution training is closely connected but not limited to the teaching method called as the cultural assimilator. This method consists of a series of short episodes judged to be critically for the interaction between the members of two cultures, because here a lot of cultural sensitivity is created so that the study helps them to understand how these two cultures can be assimilated together and the learning will take place from a long-term point of view. In the episodes, encounters between the members of two different cultures are used to practice interaction with the new culture which we are referring to. And hence, it is very important from an overall attribution training point of view, you are culturally, there is an assimilation of the entire teaching method where they are creating that critical element linkage between the learning cultures, between the two episodes, so that they are able to encounter these differences, and basis on the differences, they are able to adapt to the new culture, to the new learning practices, and the interactions into the new culture is more promising, more more rewarding, and the overall sensitivity between the attribution training will take care, will exist from a long-term point of view. Also, one of the important elements is the language training, because language training involves teaching the expats the native language and the business language of the host country, because here they are creating that awareness, developing their abilities, that overall learning culture, so that they are able to understand the language, and because of such efforts, they will be able to adjust in the new culture, very well from a long-term point of view. While fluency can take months or even years to attain, there are still benefits of using this training method, because here you are connected with them at the ground level, at the root level. This method is often used in a cross-cultural training and is one of the effective way of preparing the expat, since lack of training skills can slow down the overall adjustment process from a expat learning point of view. Even though fluency in the native language is not attained, the ability to enter into informal discussions, used common courtesies and show cultural empathy can help to facilitate the adaptations of the new culture, both from a host and from a new country, a learning point of view. According to Foster, the study done in 2000, it also concludes that some of the knowledge of local language is one of the important to send visible signals of politeness and to better understanding the culture of the host country. And that's the reason this study focuses a lot on local languages, a lot of visibility from a local gesture culture point of view helps both the host country and the expat country to be able to culturally adjust between their organizations, their locations, and that's how a lot of learning takes place. The language barriers can prevent the expat from processing information posted in the local language, both privately and professional, privately and at a professional level, and this prevents integration. And that's the reason language barrier can be one of the most important showstopper, because here both the employee and the expat are not culturally adapting the new learning environment, and hence to have that eradication of such cultural barriers is one of the important parameters for us to be able to create that sensitivity from overall professional development and from overall learning and development point of view. Let's focus on a lot of cultural awareness training, because here the goal of cultural awareness training is to give the expat the insight about the concept of culture and cultural differences, to teaching awareness about the culture, because here the complete focus is on how to create that cultural awareness training wherein the expat is able to understand the concepts of cultural and the cultural differences to be able to go to the to the expat location and start working more confidently from an overall learning point of view. Training activities include self-awareness building and value ranking charts, but goals can be reached with more cultural general approach, such simulation games and perceptual exercises can be one of the important parameters, because these training activities, which is more on creating that self-awareness, helps the expat to be able to culturally adapt to the new environment. And that's the reason the cultural training awareness is one of the important parameters. And it also focuses on other methods like role play, self-assessment, and this could be a good way of building awareness, which translates into acceptable acceptable of oneself and the ability of to adapt to the host culture. Interaction training. The method of interaction training is based on interactions between the new expat and the expat with more experience of that a local culture. It can take place before departure, which with previously expat or at the arrival in the host country. Overlaps in expat placement are sometimes used in training method, which can be beneficial, which can be very beneficiary for the expert from an adjustment process point of view. Benefits which overlaps include the possibility of the explained task, introduction, introduce contacts and otherwise coach in the management and operation of the workplace. Family can also benefit in similar way from interaction with the outgoing family. So here, as a part of interactional training between the expat and the earlier expats, the old expats, both these teams put together, they are able to learn from what the earlier expats have experienced, and basis on their interaction, the training, because of this overlapping between the expat placement, this creates a very fruitful experience between both of them, because as a part of their learning curve, they are exposed and they are creating that sensitivity between the expanse, because the earlier expanse also gives them the the broader picture, the larger insights of their overall interaction training. Let's talk about the cognitive behavior modification. Why this method? This method is one of the most, which is amongst the this method is amongst the less used training method when training and expat is, what we discuss about. The expat get to name what activity they find rewarding or punishing in the home cultural context point of view. By making such distinctions, the expat can hopefully apply the same process in the host country and enable him or her to identify and focus on rewarding activities and feel positive about the facing the challenges of the host culture. Let's focus on the next chapter, chapter 4, which is impact of cross-cultural training. As a part of our impact of cross-cultural training, we are referring to a development of cultural awareness. Those who attended the post-arrival cross-cultural training displayed a greater ability in recognizing cultural differences. For example, to be able to understand the needs to acquire knowledge of the local culture or its norm and regulations, and then developing appropriate behavior for cross-cultural interaction is one of the important elements which has been focused and which has been talked about. These skills in turn facilitates the cross-cultural adjustments and job-related performance, and that's how they are able to do their jobs much, much better and perform much, much better from a cultural sensitivity point of view. Typically, we are referring to facilitation of cross-cultural adjustments and cross-cultural programs. Let's take an example. For example, participants who took 1 day post-arrival CCT focused on a brief introduction to job related responsibilities and on paying attention to local norms and value system. They gradually became aware of the fact that cultural differences were a major factor in terms of the work behavior of people in the home country and in the host location. And that's the reason, as a part of the study which was done focusing on the post-arrival CCT, it clearly mentions that introduction of job-related responsibilities and by paying a detailed attention from a local norms value system, it helped them to gradually adapt to the new culture. Improvement of communication skills as a part of our cultural, impact of cross-cultural training. Improvement of communication skills here refers to expats who are undergoing language training, and then they have reportedly reported that the language fluency facilitated their communication skills. It also helped them to perform better, making it possible for them to convey instructions clearly and accurately. At the same time, improved their listening and ability, and also improved their listening ability and reduced the misunderstanding from an overall cultural perception and from a learning point of view. Participants also indicated that their language skills, particularly listening skills, help them to bridge the gap, particularly to build a bridge with the local colleagues. And that's the reason when they improved their communication skills, that cultural sensitivity helped them to bridge that gap between the local colleagues and the expat, because here they are more culturally inclusive and now they are able to do their job much, much better. Expats who are not fluent in the host country language have indicated that they suffer greatly due in the few first few months of their assignment, because obviously they're not culturally, you know, it takes time for them to be culturally adjust in the new environment. However, once a certain level of language fluency is acquired and communications obstacles are removed, their performance and their overall work, you know, improvisation takes place, and the interaction between the colleagues definitely improves greatly from a long-term point of view. Why facilitating cross-cultural adjustments is focusing on while working on an expat assignment, what stresses an employee goes through typically is the cultural differences in work attitude, work behavior, plus the local norms and the regulations. These also possess, you know, this pose as one of the main challenges to their overseas assignment while interacting with the locals and extending the business interactions, extending from a business interest point of view, the host country is one of the important elements because that facilitates the cross-cultural adjustment. Expats who observe that, you know, attending a cross-cultural training makes them understand the differences between, understands the difference between them and the local staff and facilitates their acceptance of these culture, this culture, these differences in the way that they were gradually able to adjust to the local environment. And hence, such training, such you know, awareness session from a cross-cultural training makes them understand the difference between the local staff and the expats, which increases their acceptance from a cultural difference and overall the local work environment, you know, streamlines and stabilizes from a long-term point of view is one of the important observations which we are referring to.